Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Yes, sir, we're off and rolling on a hump day, Wednesday, June 11th, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'll be Connor Dunning on X at C-Dunning929. Connor, how you doing, brother?
What's up, man?
Week rolling along good for you?
Week
hanging
is
in
rolling.
There. I was in a good mood today, man. Beautiful weather out. I think the sun got to me, the vitamin D. You know, I had a smile on my face. You couldn't wipe a smile off my face today. Still can't do it. I have 3 hours with the best listeners around. But we do have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to start on overreaction, not an overreaction. But then, from there, we have plenty to get to. Guess-wise, at 4:30, I cannot wait to discuss a little bit of Browns quarterback room with my guy, Browns ESPN reporter Daniel Oyefusi. He's been on hand for mandatory minicamp through 2 days, and have you seen our favorite quarterback tracker from ESPN Cleveland the last 2 days with mandatory minicamp?
I have seen it.
Shedeur Sanders. With the twos, not with the one. But you could view that in a good way or a bad way. I mean, the fact that he hasn't run with the ones is something to mention. But the fact that he's running with twos and backup wide receivers, and he's gone 18 for 21 with 3 touchdowns and no interceptions, that should mean something. Now, granted, it's mandatory minicamp, no pads on. I don't want to hype it up too much, but we'll ask Daniel what he thinks about Shedeur Sanders in that quarterback room thus far. David Koppel joined at 5 o'clock, and with David, we'll talk about it in the overreaction, not an overreaction as well. There's been this story ongoing for about 2 years in sort of the new era of college athletics we're entering, and it's been sped up, this conversation, because of the House settlement and a lot of lower programs that will be strapped for cash, looking for cash infusions. Private equity firms getting involved with athletic departments has been a big discussion. I want to ask David Koppel what that would look like and what he thinks about maybe the University of Memphis kicking the tires on it in a few years. And then 6 o'clock, we have some NBA to talk, and this is everything. We have the Knicks just asking everybody under the sun who has a sitting head coach if they can take their head coach. We have Kevin Durant trade sweepstakes. Giannis, maybe he'll stay in Milwaukee. We'll talk about that as well. And then we'll have the NBA Finals Game 3 coming up tonight right here on 92.9 FM ESPN, by the way, starting at 7 o'clock with pregame. 7:30 will be tip time. We'll get into the Blitz at 6:30. That is the show for you. I did see last night, before we get into overreaction, not an overreaction, men's soccer, USA men's soccer, with Mauricio Pochettino, not faring well. Fourth straight loss. That gets a clap.
Wrong button.
Okay.
Wrong button.
Do it again. There we go. They lost 4-0 to Switzerland. Now, granted, they don't have their main guys. Christian Pulisic being the main guy. He's played 50 games. He's not able to participate right now. And I think basically their top four guys that play overseas, not there. Lost 4-0, but they gave up all four goals in a 23-minute span.
Yikes.
Now, I'm not versed enough on USA men's soccer to give a full take, but I will say, reverting back to the discussions about Greg Berhalter, who was fired for Mauricio Pochettino, I still probably would surmise that he was a problem. He wouldn't have gotten fired if he wasn't. But Mauricio Pochettino was supposed to be the guy who, you know, gave life back to USA men's soccer. I don't know if I've seen that yet, right? Last night was not great. That was not fun. Four straight loss, lose 4-0, and they gave up those four goals in 23 minutes. Somebody else can let me know.
Giving up a goal basically is, every 5 minutes.
Not great.
Not leading to winning soccer. Hot take.
I think you're right on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think
We've cracked the code.
You've nailed it. All right. Let's go ahead and get to what we normally get to at the top of a Wednesday show. That's Overreaction, Not an Overreaction.
Now, it's Overreaction or Not an Overreaction.
We are two wild and crazy guys.
That's crazy.
Chill, homie.
On the Gabe Gujo from 92.9.
The Knicks have tried to reach out to three, yes, three, sitting head coaches in the NBA. The Rockets' Ime Udoka, the Timberwolves' Chris Finch, and as of this morning, the Mavericks' Jason Kidd. They were denied contact with all three. Firing Tibbs was a mistake. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction. I wouldn't be saying it was not an overreaction if this was, you know, if it was a different plan, if they tried to find somebody else out there. But they're reaching out to other organizations to try to take sitting head coaches that have had success with those organizations. Those organizations do not want to give up the head coach that's gotten them to this type of success. Chris Finch, you really think you're going to get him? Two Western Conference Finals in a row. Do you really honestly think that you were going to get Ime Udoka from the Rockets? He turned them into a two seed in 2 years when they were in the depths of hell. Now, Jason Kidd, I guess I could get there. But at the same time, they're rebuilding that roster. He was in the Western Conference Finals a year ago. They traded away his best player. He's going to get Cooper Flagg back. He's in a decent situation from a roster standpoint. Now, everything else is still in flux. Like, the fans don't like the Mavericks right now. They have to get them back on board. He may not trust his GM and ownership. I get all of that. But he's got a decent situation. And I don't know if hopping into that Knicks situation would be great for his long-term coaching career. He may get fired in a couple years if he doesn't get to where Tibbs could not get to. So the fact that they fired Tibbs and this was their plan is to just go find somebody else's coach, absolutely insane to me. When you fire Tibbs, you had to have something else in mind. You had to have at least a target that was realistic. These are not realistic targets. They're basically, like, this is the way I put it. They're the That's Mine kid at daycare or on the playground. The That's Mine kid, you know him. If you have children, you know about all the kids are playing with toys. Your kid has a toy that he's really enjoying. He's flying that airplane over there. And that the That's Mine kid is walking up, and he looks how much fun your kid's having. He says, "That's mine. I want to play with that now. You're making it look so fun. I want it." That's what the Knicks are doing to the rest of the NBA right now. The amount of arrogance it takes to think that you can go talk somebody out of their head coach that has had success is absolutely insane. And why do you think you can do that? You haven't won a championship since 1973. You just got back to your first conference finals in 25 years. And we know that New York in general is a pressure cooker. So, like, why do you have this view of yourself that all these coaches are just going to jump at the chance to go coach the New York Knicks? You're not what you once were, and it's going to be hard for you going into the future with the roster you have to become what you once were. It's just mystifying to me. I mean, the amount of errors they have made since they got knocked out of the Eastern Conference Finals and firing Tibbs and just not having a plan on who they're going to target as a head coach is insane to me. There are guys out there that you could go hire that were really good head coaches. I don't advocate for Taylor Jenkins to get the Knicks job, but he was good with the Grizzlies. He's their most winning coach of all time. Michael Malone won a championship a couple of years ago with the Denver Nuggets. Got them over top. Why don't you reach out to the guys that need a job right now? Reaching out to the organizations of coaches that have this tremendous success, when you fired a guy who had success for you, you just look desperate. So this is not an overreaction in the slightest. If they would have had a better plan than reaching out to the Rockets about Ime Udoka and the Timberwolves about Chris Finch and the Mavs about Jason Kidd after firing Tibbs, sure, I would say this is an overreaction. Firing Tibbs was not a mistake. But considering the succession plan, clearly a mistake.
It made no sense when we first heard that they were connected to names like Ime Udoka and Jason Kidd. Because the first thing that all of us thought was
they can't have
jobs. They have jobs right now. Right. And why would the Mavericks allow them to interview Jason Kidd? Why would the Rockets allow them to interview Ime? I'm going to be honest. Chris Finch is weird. Chris Finch is like, he's fine as a head coach. I don't think he's some world beater.
Two Western Conference Finals in a row.
I don't think it's really Chris Finch is doing this. Like, when I watch the Timberwolves, I'm not like, oh, the coaching genius of Chris Finch.
Yeah. What an adjustment.
That's not what's coming to my brain. And is there any world in which Chris Finch is a better coach than Tom Thibodeau?
No.
That's why it would be...
Not historically.
Like, Ime would be an upgrade. Or it would at least be the same level, maybe a bit of an upgrade. I understand that one. Jason Kidd would have been a downgrade. Chris Finch would have been a downgrade. Michael Malone, probably about the same level. Taylor Jenkins would be a downgrade. I don't understand why they fire Tom Thibodeau without any sort of plan other than those guys look pretty good on those teams. I want that guy.
They're the that's mine kid, aren't they? I mean, that's what they are.
I want one of those. Yeah. And listen, here's the thing that I actually think is going on with the Knicks. And it's something that Nick Wright has said. I've said this to Parker a few times through text. All of a sudden, the Knicks are in this position where it feels like they might make a couple really stupid decisions after a couple years of really smart decisions. And what has changed? Dolan. James Dolan is back. James Dolan's focus is back on the Knicks because the sphere is built. The sphere is done. He hasn't been focusing on the Knicks the last few seasons because he's been in Vegas dealing with that. But then the Knicks make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. All of a sudden, his toy is shiny and popular again, and he wants to be involved. All of a sudden, because we got reports. Why did Tom Thibodeau get fired? James Dolan wanted him fired. And there was no plan. There was no plan for them to fire Tom Thibodeau. How was your only plan to reach out to three head coaches that currently have jobs?
Because Jim Dolan, as we know, was born on third base. And he thinks that he's entitled to things. He is.
So stupid.
He is nearly by definition. I mean, just about as close to it. The metaphor I just brought up, the that's mine kid, Jim Dolan is a that's mine kid.
Literally.
That's what he is. So it's not surprising that they have this sort of grand vision of going and getting a sitting head coach
and those
coaches wanting to force their way out because they have a chance to go coach the brand that is the New York Knicks.
And then what were their other two options? Jay Wright, who has said numerous times, I don't want to coach anymore, and he immediately said, no, I'm not interested in this. And then Dan Hurley, who again has said numerous times, he's good at UConn, but
his answer to the Knicks thing was like, we're doing this again for another season.
Yeah, I don't want to do this again.
The Lakers' interest from last offseason. But if you were... My thought when they fired Tibbs, our thought when they fired Tibbs, was, okay, they have a plan.
Right.
They don't.
They have to have a plan.
But they don't. That's what this tells me. That's what Shams and all these reports should tell you out there. And to be clear about reaching out to other organizations for their coaches, these were hires that if they would have gotten clearance on, they would have made. You don't reach out to other organizations just to interview someone. You reach out to other organizations to take their head coach, trade for them, second round picks, what have you. Otherwise, you don't reach out and make it public and let everybody know about it. They were going to hire one of Ime Udoka, Chris Finch, Jason Kidd if they got clearance. Make no mistake about that.
Their first five options all said no to them. That's tough.
After firing a guy who got you to the playoffs 4 out of 5 years and won 24 playoff games, got to the first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 seasons.
In my opinion, the obvious choice here is Johnny Bryant. He was a former Tom Thibodeau assistant. He had high success with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Go hire him.
That's so backwards.
Well, I understand the idea that they want something similar to what Thibodeau gave them. A former assistant of his that would be a new voice, a younger voice, might be able to connect with his players more, might be able to bring more offensive things to the table than Tom did, because we know he's more of a defensive coach. You can still save this. You look really stupid right now that your first five choices were two guys that didn't want the job.
Honestly,
and the three
at this
coaches
point
you
with Johnny Bryant,
job.
I think it looks relatively dumb.
I don't think Johnny Bryant would be dumb.
No, but firing Tom Thibodeau to bring in a guy who was brought up by Tom Thibodeau, why did you fire the guy that he learned under then? What was the point?
The other two that make some sense would be Sam Cassell and Chris Quinn. It seems like they're going to have to, if it's not going to be Michael Malone, then you got to take a shot on one of these assistants. And it's either Johnny Bryant, Sam Cassell, or Chris Quinn.
But going back to the original conversation we had when Tibbs was fired.
Yeah, you don't need to be doing this.
You told us that you fired Tibbs because you wanted to get to a championship. What better person to get you to a championship than one that has already been to a championship and won one in Michael Malone? To me, that's been the obvious decision the whole time, but they're going down these other avenues and embarrassing themselves along the way.
I mean, James Borrego is technically still out there, too. He's in New Orleans. You could ask about him. He's had head coaching experience. He almost got the Cleveland job before Kenny Atkinson got it. There are options for them. It is just
what are they going to reach out to the Heat for Eric Spoelstra next? What are they going to do?
It'd be Chris Quinn. If they reach out to the Heat, it should be for Chris Quinn. It is just very funny that when they fired Tom, we were like, okay, we think he should have gotten another season, but we understand the reasons why they fired him, even though we may disagree with it. But the fact that there was clearly no plan in place except for...
makes it way worse.
That guy's having some success with that team is absolutely insane. I don't want the Knicks to go back to being what the Knicks were for the last 15, 20 years. Dolan, stay away. Let Leon Rose make this decision. And take your little ass back up to your office and focus on the sphere.
Yeah, good luck with that, Connor. I know.
Next up, Giannis will stay in Milwaukee. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
I am at the point, Connor, where I think this is not an overreaction. There are some pretty obvious reasons out there with the Eastern Conference that make me think the Bucks can be competitive. Get Dame Lillard back, healthy. Sure, you can pair him with him. You're probably going to have to do a couple more things to get Giannis to be fully on board, whether, go out in the free agent market, make some trades, get some more help for him. Kyle Kuzma ain't going to cut it. But when you look at the Eastern Conference, the Celtics, Jason Tatum Achilles, have to upend that roster with a new ownership group. They are seemingly not going to be in the same spot as they were this season. You look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, 64 wins, number one team in the East, sure. But they bowed out early because of multiple injuries. They're coming up on some really tough decisions with multiple players on their roster, and Darius Garland just got surgery on his foot. He'll be out for the first part of next season. And when you keep going down the list, you just start to see where the Bucks, who were the 5 seed this past season, they can make some headway in a newly reshuffled Eastern Conference. Yes, the Pacers, who beat you in 5 games, are still there. I understand that. But I don't think anyone, even though the Pacers have gotten to the NBA Finals, think that the Pacers are some unbeatable team in a 7-game series in the Eastern Conference. The Knicks don't have a head coach. And if you go look at the sort of non-obvious reasons why I'm leaning this direction, you know, Giannis has given a couple of interesting hints on his social media as to why he may stay with the Milwaukee Bucks. One, we know he loves Milwaukee. He said it multiple times on his social media, but there was a tweet today, 3 hours ago, where StatsMuse put out most point per game, rebound per game, assist per game, all together in the finals. Giannis leads history in that category of 53.3. Giannis quote tweeted it and said, "Let's get back there," and put the 100 emoji next to it. And if you've been paying attention to all the reports, whether it be from Shams or any other aggregator, newsbreaker out there, they all say the same thing. Giannis has not put out a trade request. Giannis has not been talking to other teams. The Bucks have not been fielding offers from other teams. And when you look at the suitors out there for Giannis, yes, I think the Rockets, the Spurs, teams like that have the capital, the assets to go make a trade work. But do they want to make that trade work at the expense of the roster that they've built? Rockets were two in the West. And the Spurs have a good thing going, and they have another number two overall pick going into this year's draft. Do they want to upend that to bring in a big fish who's 30 years old? I think he still has some really good years in there. He's still in his prime, but how many more years does he have? That's a question you have to ask yourself. So when I'm just using all the context clues, the reporting, everything that has been said about Giannis Antetokounmpo potentially leaving Milwaukee, none of it makes me believe he's actually going to leave Milwaukee this particular offseason. Things have changed in the Eastern Conference. The suitors that he has have a good thing going, and he has not formally asked for a trade. Those things make me believe, here in the middle of June, mind you, when a lot of these things start moving, KD stuff, if you've been paying attention, there's a lot of suitors out there. The Suns are fielding calls right now. If Giannis was going to move, they'd be fielding calls. The Bucks would be fielding calls right this second. The fact that they haven't tells a story.
We said it yesterday. I think the Jason Tatum injury probably changed the Bucks' outlook, and I think it changed Giannis's. It makes sense for him to run it back for at least one more season with Milwaukee. I don't think that there's necessarily a trade out there outside of what Houston could offer, what the Spurs could offer, that would make sense for Milwaukee, and it seems like that they just don't have a ton of interest in those right now. So I think it would make sense to run it back for one more season, or at least give it until the trade deadline. Like, you could get a ton for Giannis at the trade deadline if there's a team out there that's desperate to bring in a big fish. Like, you might get a better offer then. It just doesn't seem like Giannis has a ton of want to leave right now, where it really felt like during the season and at the end of the playoffs when they got eliminated that there was a legitimate chance that he may leave. But just in the last few weeks, every single report that comes out keeps saying they're getting closer and closer together, and now all of a sudden Giannis has never made a formal trade. He's never made a trade request. So yeah, I think that we could definitely see the season beginning next year with Giannis still on the Bucks. It's just the Knicks trade doesn't make any sense to me. Again, I think if he does get traded, the only ones that make a ton of sense are Houston and San Antonio. And then you have like an outside Oklahoma City possibility, which would be, that would just be suck. Brutal. That would just be, suck. So we don't even need to talk about that. All right, next up, with the House settlement passing through at the end of last week, infusions of cash using private equity firms have become a topic of discussion. Boise State AD Jeremy Dickey told Front Office Sports that the Broncos are actively considering the option and may get a deal done in the next 6 months. In our backyard, the University of Memphis may face a similar decision. Memphis should look into private equity. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
I don't think this is a now conversation, so overreaction. In a couple of years, when you're watching and seeing what happens with your Olympic sports, if you see a fall off from football and basketball, and you're not able to compete at the same level for recruits that you have been in football and basketball the past few years, then you may need to look into this. But here's my problem. There's just an unbelievable risk with it. Now, some people will look at the FedEx deal as somewhat of a private equity, you know, infusion of money. Now, the difference with that is FedEx is throwing $25 million in over 5 years to an NIL, an NIL collective. Now, I do have questions, by the way, Connor, and I haven't heard anybody answer this or ask it, quite frankly. What happens with that FedEx pledge now that we got to the House settlement and everything over $600 in the NIL realm is going to be scrutinized? I'm very curious about that. If someone has the answer to that, let me know. But I the FedEx pledge is an example somebody would bring up of private equity, but that's not a direct, infusion of money to the athletic department. What Boise State has said and what Boise State's looking into is taking a FedEx, for an example, and letting them invest and have stake in their athletic department, a 5%, 10% dip into the athletic department. There is serious risk with that. There's interest that will build up, and if you're not getting return on investment, private equity firms have a tendency to immediately jump ship and ask for their money back with the interest on top. So I'm not saying this is not a possibility that will never be looked at by the University of Memphis. Like, who knows where we're at in a couple of years with the House settlement and everything going different, the changing landscape of college athletics. But I think right now, try to do what you can, best as you can, try to get the donors to pony up some money, and then we can have this conversation down the road. But do not be surprised if within the next 6 months to a year, there are multiple, and I mean multiple, athletic departments in a similar situation as Memphis getting involved with private equity firms that have actual stake, percentage stake, in their athletic departments.
Last one. Shedeur Sanders will start games for the Cleveland Browns in the 2025-2026 season. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
I told you yesterday, not an overreaction. He's been playing really well. We'll talk to Daniel Oyufusi here in just a moment, the ESPN Browns reporter. He's been at minicamp for the first 2 days. But the ESPN Cleveland stuff, they've been showing clips. Shedeur Sanders looks damn good, Connor. He just does. I know they're just clips. I know it's social media. I know it's like the House of Highlights stuff. I get that, and everybody's paying attention and putting a microscope on him, and you're not seeing every single play. But according to the ESPN Cleveland tracker for quarterbacks, in the last 2 days, the 2 days of mandatory minicamp, he's 18 for 21, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Now, that doesn't mean much. It's mandatory minicamp. I understand all of that. But we know that Shedeur Sanders was considered a first-round talent by a lot of evaluators, a lot of NFL draft analysts. And it shouldn't be surprising that he's showing that. And when you look at the Cleveland Browns and their schedule going into next year, they have a bye week in week 9, and leading up to that bye week, they're not going to get a lot of wins. They open the season against the Bengals, then they have the Ravens, then they have the Packers, then they have the Lions, likely an 0-4 start, probably 0-5 if J.J. McCarthy's any good with the Vikings in week 5. Then you have the Steelers on the road. They rarely win those games. Then you have the Dolphins, who are at least going to be okay. And then you have the Patriots, who are going to be improved. This Browns team was a 3-win team last year. They weren't any good. And their quarterback situation likely will start with Joe Flacco. How many games does he win in those first 8 weeks before they get to the bye week? If you're telling me 2 or 1, which is probably the most likely outcome, fans are going to be clamoring for Shedeur Sanders. There's going to be people behind the scenes in the front office probably clamoring for Shedeur Sanders. They still have to keep butts in the seats for the rest of the year. What better way to do that than with Shedeur Sanders? And who knows? Maybe he's talented enough to win them some games down the stretch. I don't know. I'm not leaving that out of the realm of possibilities. So I think he will start games for the Cleveland Browns this year. And that's also, I'm not saying just because Shedeur Sanders is going to start games that Dillon Gabriel won't, that Kenny Pickett won't. Maybe all of them get a go. But I fully expect Shedeur Sanders to start a game for the Cleveland Browns in the 2025-26 season. But we need to get a take from somebody who has been right next to Shedeur Sanders all week and watching him throw the football. We'll go to ESPN Browns reporter Daniel Oyufusi next. Now, there's no beach in Cleveland by any stretch of the imagination, but I know Daniel Oyufusi has been out there in the raging heat, no doubt about it. But I do want to say thanks for bringing me back. Beach Boys co-founder and architect of Pop, Brian Wilson, dead at 82. Rest in peace to him. But we bring on ESPN Browns reporter Daniel Oyufusi on X at Daniel Oyufusi. Daniel, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, Gabe. But I'm not, you know, you must not be familiar with Cleveland's game. We do have the Rocky River Beach, you know, kind of, you know, okay, give South Beach a run for us money. So
come on. And you're coming from South Beach, though.
I mean,
this is the first off season you've spent in Cleveland. But you've enjoyed the beaches. They're very comparable, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, nothing like it.
Hell yeah. All right, now this is your first off season covering OTAs, mandatory minicamp. You picked a good time to switch over to be in a Cleveland Browns beat reporter, because how has the scene been out there every single day at mandatory minicamp?
I mean, I'm telling you, so this is my first true off season. You know, I did join the beat last April, so I was around for mandatory minicamp, training camp. But you know, I went through the full off season circuit this year, and this is my seventh year going into my seventh year covering the NFL. I mean, I haven't covered anything like this, you know, with Shador Sanders coming to Cleveland. You know, the media group out here seems like it's doubled. It feels like every practice, you know, everyone's just glued to the field, to the quarterbacks, to Shador, to Dylan Gabriel, to see how they're doing. So it's hectic, but it's a lot of fun for sure. So honestly, you could say it's one of the biggest stories in the entire league right now, if not the biggest story. So it's really interesting.
100%. Now, I want to remove the ESPN Cleveland quarterback tracker and the completion percentage and the touchdowns and the interceptions and all of the, and the clips, the House of Highlights. Like, I want to remove all that. From your vantage point, what have you seen from Shador Sanders, positive and negative?
Yeah, if we're just going by the eyes, you know, the eye test, what do the eyes tell you? My eyes told me that he's looked very polished. Like, that's the first word that always comes to mind as I've seen him. And I think that this is probably, okay, so we had two rookie minicamp practices. We've had two OTA practices, and now this is the second mandatory minicamp practice. So I've seen him six times on that field, and he just looks polished. He looks comfortable. He looks like he's always, or most always, in rhythm. Now, you do have to add the caveat that I haven't seen him take a single rep in team drills against the first team defense.
Sure.
All of his reps that I've seen have come against the second team defense, and at times the third team defense. Today,
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I actually did a lot of work with like the backups while Dylan Gabriel did some work with the third stringers. But for the most part, it's been Shador that's taken all the second team offense reps and third team offense reps. So you have to add that caveat. Like when Dylan Gabriel goes out against the first team defense, he doesn't look as good, but then when he played against the backups and the third stringers today, he looked pretty good. So you have to kind of keep all that in perspective when talking about Shador. But the thing, especially this time of the year, that I look for is, like, does the game look too fast for guys? And with Shador, it rarely ever looks like that. Like, there was actually a play today which I thought was his best throw, his best pass, my favorite play that I've seen from him, where they're in the low red zone, you're on the 5-8 yard line. He gets a shotgun snap, and he actually looks to his left, and he looks off the defense. And if you there's a video on my X page, he influences all the linebackers to the left, and then he quickly snaps back to his right, and then hits tight end on a little stick nod for a touchdown. And that was my favorite play because that was really him winning with his mind more than his arm and his physical tools, which I think he's going to have to do in the NFL because he doesn't have all those elite traits that maybe a Cam Ward and some of these other guys had. So really polished, really composed. That's how I would describe Shador Sanders this offseason so far.
Now, speaking of his mind and speaking of the way he carries himself, we know that was the big conversation around the draft. And we can speculate that is the reason he fell to the fifth round and the Cleveland Browns were able to get their hands on him. But you talked to him yesterday, the media talked with him yesterday, and he gave out really a good quote. When it's time for me to play, it's time for me to play. I'm not looking too far in the future. I'm focused on the small things, and over time, the big things will happen. When you compare the way he was viewed in the pre-draft process to what he looks like right out front of you guys in the media, how stark of a difference has it been?
I mean, it couldn't be more different. I mean, when you look at some of the draft reports that were coming out about calling him arrogant and saying that he was unprepared for meetings and that he didn't take them seriously. Like, it's hard to imagine that the guy who has had such great perspective and has said all the right things since he arrived in Cleveland could be the same guy that supposedly bombed all these interviews. But I mean, regardless, it's behind him. And I think that that's been a big thing for not only him, but for this organization. Like, it doesn't matter what happened in the pre-draft process. It doesn't matter where he was drafted. What matters now is him putting in the work. And we're hearing a lot of good things about what Shador is doing, not only on the field, but in the building, in the meetings room. You talk about OC Tommy Reese saying that he's working his tail off and that he can tell the game is slowing down for him. So really, like, whatever happened then, it really doesn't matter now. Right. This is the opportunity with Cleveland to potentially start early and to really be a model of consistency for a franchise that hasn't had that at the quarterback position in decades. So he's off to a good start for sure. And as we, you know, get into training camp later in July, we'll see, you know, how real of a chance of an opportunity he does have to be a starter for this team.
Now, when we're talking about Week one, it's a long way off. You have preseason, you have training camp, you have all those things to get evaluations and everything else. But when we look at this quarterback room, four guys, Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders, how do you expect Kevin Stefanski, Tommy Reese to work through this thing? And who do you think is likely, most likely, to run out there week one?
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how they handle reps for training camp and how much it differs from what they've done through the offseason workout program, because we saw the two OTA practices that were open to media. We saw Shador Sanders not really take a ton of reps. It was really Flacco and Pickett who were with the first team, and then later on they started to mix Dylan Gabriel in there, and again, Shador has not taken a first team rep. So, you know, in my eyes, if he, and I asked Stefanski this, you know, in my eyes, you would think that somebody who's under consideration to be the starter would get first team reps at some point. And if he starts to transition into joint practices, they have a pair of those with the Panthers and the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, those preseason games, you would expect that, you know, he would get those reps. So I don't know how they're going to divvy up the reps. You know, they keep on saying it's not going to be 25% across the board, but they're going to do what's best for the team. My guess is that both rookies make the team, and then the veteran that does not start is the odd man out. I personally think that it may be Kenny Pickett, because Joe Flacco has experience in this offense. He has, you know, a bit maybe more trust from Kevin Stefanski and this offensive staff. But they also traded, you know, a fifth round pick and a quarterback for Kenny Pickett. They sought him out as a trade target earlier in the first free agency wave. But I do think it'll be one of the veterans that starts, and then the one that doesn't is the odd man out.
Now, with Joe Flacco, 40 years of age, a guy who still thinks he can play at a high level in the National Football League, and over the past couple of years, he's had some spot starts and still has shown some ability to be the gunslinger that we knew and loved when he won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens. But we know also he had the mentor comment that people tore apart, tore it to shreds. How do you feel, or what have you seen from him in regards to sort of the relationship he has with those young guys that were brought in? He still feels like he can play at a high level. He doesn't really embrace that mentor word. But what have you seen in regards to that from Joe Flacco?
Yeah, I mean, when we're watching practice, like in between, team drills, when they're kind of doing individual drills, or maybe the quarterbacks are getting a break, like we're seeing Flacco like laugh and joke with all the quarterbacks, you know, Gabriel, Sanders, Pickett, and, you know, anyone you talk to, they say that they have a really great working relationship in that quarterback room. Now, the "I'm not a mentor" comments are always, you know, they're always taken a certain way. And Flacco has spoken a lot about that, how, like, he doesn't think that the best way for him to lead is to just kind of roll over and say, hey, I'm not going to compete.
Right.
Like, they brought him in to compete. And the organization has said he's not a mentor. They brought him in to compete. But Flacco has also talked about the kind of natural mentorship that just takes place when you're working with a group of teammates. And, like, the young guys are asking him questions, and it's not like Flacco is, you know, not receptive to that. Like, if they ask him questions, he's going to give them advice, and he's going to talk about his experiences. So from all reports, it's been a great working relationship. It's not like Flacco was, like, you know, spurning all the young guys and, you know, kind of, you know, giving them a tough time. Like, no, it's just they're just naturally competing. And then over the course of, you know, being in a locker room, being in these meeting rooms, you just naturally lend your expertise when you've been in the league for what is going to be his 18th year.
Now, you have not seen much. We have not seen much from Shedeur Sanders yet. We're talking about OTAs and mandatory minicamp. But last question I have for you before I let you roll. What do you think the likelihood is that we see Shedeur Sanders start a game for the Cleveland Browns in the 2025-26 season?
The chances that he starts at least one game, I would say they are... that's a good question. I'm going to say 80%.
Again, oh, wow.
My prediction is that Flacco will be the week one starter. That's just how I think
sure.
It's going to shake out, you know, over the next month or two. But we have to keep in mind, I think that one of the biggest factors that we're not focusing enough on is that this team drafted Dillon Gabriel in the third round with a top 100 pick. They saw a value in him. They became very impressed with him over the course of the pre-draft circuit. And I think that there's a lot of believers in him in that building. So if Shedeur Sanders is to start at some point this season, he would either have to, you know, really, really outplay Dillon Gabriel on the depth chart to the point where they feel comfortable maybe making him the backup. Or, you know, we're just going to have to go down this kind of this line and these dominoes of, you know, Flacco, you know, starts to struggle out the gate, and then maybe they go to Dillon Gabriel, and if he's not, you know,
right.
Ready, then they go to Shedeur. So keep in mind, like, it's not only that he has, you know, maybe one or two veterans in front of him, but he has another rookie that the team thought more highly of him in front of him right now. So, you know, he might have to play the long game, which he talked about yesterday. He might have to, you know, just keep on getting ready during the season and then just be ready for when they may come to him. But I do think that it's a very tough schedule for this team out the gate. So I wouldn't be surprised if they start, you know, maybe 1-5, 0-6. Like it's really tough. You know, they have the toughest strength of schedule in the first 6 weeks of the year. So it would not be a surprise to see them struggle out the gate, and then maybe once that schedule starts to ease up, they start to turn to one of the young guys.
And it really feels like, just looking at the schedule, you stare down that bye week at week 9. If they had one starter for those first 8 weeks of the season, just based on talent and based on last year, likely won't go well for the Browns. You stare down that bye week, week 9, there's going to be a lot of questions about, okay, who are you turning to after the bye week? Who's looking good? Who do you want to give a try to? So it's going to be interesting to watch, and I know you're going to be along for the ride the entire time. But, Daniel, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining. Keep taking it in.
Anytime. Thank you.
Yes, sir. He is Daniel Oyufusi. He is the Browns reporter for ESPN. So a couple of interesting things from Daniel there regarding Shedeur Sanders. The first thing we'll start with, he said the one word that really summarizes what he's seen with his eyes from Shedeur Sanders. And mind you, this is a guy who doesn't have the whole playbook in front of him and learned. This is a guy who's running with the second team unit most of the time. But the word is polished. That's a solid word to hear when you're a 22-year-old rookie. That's a solid word to hear when you want a chance to go play for an NFL franchise, to have that sort of attached to your name. Obviously, this is one guy's opinion, and Daniels, who's been right there following along the entire time at Mandatory Minicamp. But polished is the word. I found that really interesting, Connor.
It's certainly good news if you're a Browns fan that he looks polished and that the game doesn't seem like it's too fast for him. I do think it's very important, though, and you discussed it in every time you've talked about him. You said it in your tweet. Daniel brought it up. He is going up against second and third teams. He's not playing first-team defenses, but him having any level of comfortability already doing this with NFL players is a good sign.
Yes, and then Daniel's opinion – I just want to throw that out there. Daniel's opinion. You know my opinion's 100%. But I ask him the likelihood of Shedeur Sanders suiting up and starting a game for the Cleveland Browns in the 2025-26 season. I expected a lower number. 80% is the number that Daniel Oyufusi, the Cleveland Browns beat reporter for ESPN, just gave us.
It's pretty high.
That's a really high number. That's a really high number. Now, again, he did stipulate that Dylan Gabriel, he was the third-round pick. He was the guy they clearly thought higher of than Shedeur Sanders, or else Shedeur Sanders would have been picked in the third round, and Dylan Gabriel would have been that fifth-round pick. There's people in that building that think highly of Dylan Gabriel, so Dylan Gabriel may get starts as well. But I absolutely see this Browns team turning to multiple faces behind center this year. There just seems to be, based on the schedule, based on actually who is in that room, the differences in ages, it seems like they're going to have to go through 2-3 quarterbacks, maybe even 4 by the time we get to the end of the year.
Yes. I also, real quick, Gabe, I just got a Shams notification.
Oh, God, what happened?
The Knicks have requested permission to speak with Atlanta Hawks head coach Quinn Snyder, but were firmly denied. What are y'all doing, man?
All right, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
But
in the end of the day, it just feels as if this Browns team is going to have to turn to multiple faces behind center. And Shedeur Sanders is one of those.
Yeah. Now, I do like one of the things I really enjoyed was the note about Joe Flacco there. Listen, his comment was silly, and I don't understand why veteran quarterbacks get all defensive about the moniker of being a mentor, but it sounds like he's doing what he is supposed to be doing.
Yeah,
he
which I like to hear.
Trying to help these young quarterbacks figure out their way in the NFL, and he understands the situation. The Browns understand the situation. I just don't understand why he's so defensive when people bring it up. But I also get the viewpoint that he wants to view it as, no, this is a quarterback competition. I'm not just here to try to give them the answers. There are things that they're going to have to figure out on their own. I will be here to help them out when they can. But at the same time, I'm not just going to give up my job because there's younger quarterbacks here. I understand that part of it. But I was pleased to hear that he seems to have a good relationship with Kenny Pickett, with Dylan Gabriel, and with Shedeur Sanders.
Yes, 100%. But you know, obviously the answers in front of the media do not reflect what we actually see take place on a day-to-day basis inside of a locker room. Guys become close. Guys learn lessons from each other. You learn lessons off the film. If you're a 40-year-old quarterback like Joe Flacco, if you're giving out pointers, I think that's part of your job.
Yeah, I also think that sometimes what happens is every once in a while, players will get asked a question, and they try to become a philosophizer. Yeah, like, oh, yeah. Now he's a philosophizer. And it's like, dude, just say yes or no. You know, he tried. I think what the point he was trying to make is that it happens naturally and it doesn't need to actually be said. But what ended up happening was just a complete word salad.
I'm not a
mentor.
And that's ultimately what we hear is I don't think I'm a mentor. And that's what we run with. And I will.
Now he's a philosophizer.
I will fully admit that. We in the way in sports talk and media, we have a way of picking and choosing what we hear.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Joe Flacco gave a good answer still.
No, it was a terrible answer.
Yes, I want to make that much clear. But you brought up the Shams thing. Quinn Snyder.
All right. Quinn Snyder's a great coach, but why the hell would the Hawks allow Quinn Snyder to go to the Knicks? What are they doing? This is the dumbest coaching search I've seen in a long time. Go hire one of his assistants. Go hire one of these assistants.
I need someone in New York.
Or Michael Malone.
I need someone in New York covering the team. Fred Katz is a guy who does it. Go get me the inside scoop on where these ideas are coming from.
Dolan.
I can assume that, but I need to know for sure. I need to know for certain.
What's the funniest hire they could possibly make? Is it Darvin Ham?
Probably.
Or is it Doc Rivers?
Are they going to reach out to Doc Rivers? That was going to be the answer. That's the answer. If you see that they reach out to the Bucks to request an interview or to hire Doc Rivers, that's the funniest outcome.
The Bucks would be like, "You're not calling about Giannis? You're calling about Doc?" All right.
Okay, in that situation, you think the Bucks just let him walk?
Yeah.
What do you think that does for Giannis, though?
I don't know.
If they're Giannis trying to...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Giannis likes Doc. They'd probably say no.
Yeah. Good God. Can you just go get somebody that's available?
Right.
Is that hard? That doesn't seem that complicated.
Is that Taylor Jenkins' music?
Oh, maybe. Maybe. He's going to have to get an interview at some point, the way this thing's going.
They've got to at least bring him in so they don't get denied.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Hour number two starts up next. We'll bring on David Cobb right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.